Hi, this is Jedi Manda. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know how you can design and win your very own Bernina Dream Studio. Just check out berninasweepstakes.com. When I designed mine, I had to have that foot tower in there. It was, see for yourself. It was super cool. And get in today to win Bernina's Dream Studio $100,000 giveaway at berninasweepstakes.com. Dream it, design it, win it.
Welcome to a special episode of So-and-So, brought to you by Bernina, Made to Create. I'm Meg Goodman, and you're about to join us for an exclusive behind-the-scenes experience at Houston Quilt Festival 2022.
Attention exhibitors, we'll be opening the doors in about 5 minutes, in about 5 minutes.
We're in Houston, Texas for the 2022 version of the annual Quilt Festival. This international event began in 1975 and is the largest annual consumer quilt show in the world. It's attended by more than 50,000 individuals from all over the U.S. and people from more than 35 countries around the world. We'll visit with attendees, educators, award-winning quilters, and as a special treat, we'll catch up with some old friends who are guests on this podcast. The Big Texas hospitality is notable, and all who will participate over the next few days have their walking shoes on and are ready to go. People have come here from near and far. They're arriving solo, in groups, or as a family. They're young and old, from around the world, or from just down the street.
Well, this is the fourth time that I've been to the quilt show. And of course, we haven't been there for a couple of years because there was the pandemic. And I was just so happy to get back to see the wonderful things that people make. I mean, this is an international event. And as a quilter, these are the stars, the rock and roll stars of quilting is what we've come to see.
Well, I've come every year for so many years, and I am a quilter, and I really just like to look about what other people do to get inspiration, and also how they quilt it, get up close, because you're always wanting to learn something, you know? And I try to take classes to learn, and it's just an amazing experience. But yeah, back in the very beginning, people were really questioning painting, and I know Hollis Shatland won the first best of show, and she's amazing. And at first there was a lot of maybe discussion about that, is painting the same thing? But now it's accepted. Everything thinks, oh yeah, that's fine.
Well, I've always been a quilter, and now I'm into machine embroidery more, and there's four of us that come from a quilt guild in Lufkin, and we've been doing this for like 5 or 6 years. We come as a group, and it's our one time a year retreat. So
For me, it's a lot of the contemporary work that you see in a lot of these quilts. Gorgeous. Love to see the artistic work here.
I'm eager to see what people are doing these days, seeing how they're getting their art together, how they're expressing themselves. And I'm also eager to see what people are vending, trying to see what the new tools are.
Well, it's been 3 years since I've been here. And then for COVID, nobody came. And I'm so excited to be here to see all the vendors and the new products that are out there.
Well, we've been coming for close to 20 years. We love the classes. We spend the week. We fly in Sunday and fly out Sunday, take classes all week, love the show, love what we learn, not only in the classes, but on the floor. And of course,
and
we love to shop. There's so much to find and to see. So we're going home with treasures.
I love that I can get a little taste of everything in one place.
Well, one thing is I come from Nashville, Tennessee, and meet her in Texas. So that's how it all got started. But now, and I wasn't a quilter when I first came, but years later now I quilt. So it draws me in all the different things that you can buy or just to see it and get away.
I like to see the demonstrations and be able to do them as well.
The exhibit hall is filled with vendors showcasing their wares, everything from fabric to accessories, sewing machines and long arms to needles and the tiniest of buttons. And if you need a massage chair, well, those are here too. Bernina, who brought their finest to this year's show, also featured a stage where celebrities, ambassadors, and educators filled the air with a constant flow of demonstrations and stories. We caught up with a few of the presenters, Connie Fanders, Amanda Murphy, and Sylvain Bergeron.
Connie Fanders. We're here together at the Houston International Quilt Festival. You are the Director of Embroidery for Bernina. And before that, you headed up all of the education for Bernina. And we understand that you are retiring sometime soon. And you have had a long and wonderful career with Bernina. Would you talk a little bit about that? I don't know if there's a little bit because it's been wonderful, wonderfully long. But talk about that a little bit and then share your impressions about the show here in Houston.
Okay. Well, yes, you nailed it. You have my latest history. But I have actually been sewing all my life. I used to be a store owner and a Bernina dealer as well. And then I transitioned and went to work for Bernina. And I've been working for Bernina about 16 years now. And it's just been a wonderful journey in this very creative industry. And so I've been very lucky to be able to do what I love as I work and be with all of these creative people.
Amanda Murphy, we are together again.
Yes.
You were the second episode of So-and-So back in March of 2021.
Okay.
We caught up with you this summer in July in Palm Springs at Bernina University.
Yes.
So there's been a lot going on with you since all of that time. What have you been up to?
Well, of course, new fabric, new notions with Brewer, new rulers. There's new template bags, and there's coming as a seam gauge and a line of scissors. Just lots of new product, and of course, teaching. I started market, and I was in the Benertex and Brewer booths with my fabric lines. And there, you're marketing to shop owners, right, and reps. And people come, you give them tours of your booth, et cetera. And it's always a mad rush because you only get your fabric, like, less than 2 weeks before, so it's crazy. But it's nice to see everyone. And then I, during the days in between, I was actually teaching up in the Bernina long arm room. They had a long arm room for the first time, and so I got to teach on 25 Q16s, which is like amazing because normally when I teach in a shop, I'm teaching on lots of different models, but everyone's on the same machine. They're all on fancy machines, so that's really nice. So I did that, and now I am in the Bernina long arm booth for the rest of the time, and then you caught me right after I did a presentation because they have this fancy stage this year. So I quilted on the stage. I mean, this show is amazing. It has so many people from all around the world. It really is international. And last year was a little more regional, but this year it's international again. You meet people from all over. I meet people whose names I've only seen in my Facebook group, but I can put a name to a face. And you see so many different styles of quilting and different techniques. It's really a good way to preview, you know, what's going on in the quilting world.
We are lucky enough to be with Sylvain at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. You are an educator with Bernina. You've been with them for more than 25 years, and you are well known on social media. You go out into the public and teach at different dealers. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with Bernina for these 25 years, and tell us as much as you need to.
Well, I started as the first and only ever webmaster for Bernina. And I came from Cornell where I taught that stuff, and I sewed as a hobby. So I approached them with a project that was verbatim what became the Big Book of Feet today, what was features before, but not knowing that they had already started on something identical. So two and two put together, they brought me in, interviewed me, and I was the first webmaster and for 18 years. And then they consolidated between the European group and us here in the US. So they wanted to contract the team a little bit. And they offered me to go back to education, and I lit up because that's going back to play with the toys and actually, you know, having even more fun because I'm a user. I use the product. I'm not a dealer. So from there, I'm basically my job listing when Christy, our boss, shows the org chart, it's all products. I've been there a long time. So if somebody needs to know what's the first machine that did this, that did that, I was there, you know, 25 years. So I go, I can go back and help with that. I'm the librarian and the historian now within the team. So yeah, and I'm a user. I make art quilts. I love mending. I do the mending videos with Jamie because it's a puzzle. It's a challenge. You know, I was always fascinated when my mother would mend for six kids. And then you got the hand-me-downs. I was the youngest boy. The hand-me-downs had been mended a few times. And I was always mystified by how do you fix something that's got a big hole in it or, you know, that's broken. So it's a challenge, a puzzle, and then you get to use it again. You know, if it's something you like a backpack or whatever, you get to use it again. So, and then I do art quilts on the side just to get them out of my head. Because I used to teach at the local store. It was like at a home base when I was webmaster, because I was not an educator then, so I did not have a teaching function at the company. So that's how I could, you know, get my fix, because I love teaching. And I would tell my students, you can do embroidery in your quilt. But I don't mean flowers here and, you know, stuff on the border. Like, what if embroidery is the quilt? And so from there, I digitized with the software, made abstract geometric patterns. And then the second quilt I entered here in Houston, and they called me and they said, you coming to the show? And I said, well, I was thinking about it. I said, no, we're flying you in. It won the first Master Award for Thread Artistry in 2006. And they called Sylvia on stage. And Sylvia's been my comedic alter ego for 36 years in the U.S. So my answer was always like, you know, hello, that's me, I'm Sylvia. And that would always get a funny reaction. But that was basically a proof of concept. And the technology is so good today. And as a user, right, I depend on it.
In addition to the large number of vendors, this year's show featured more than 1,300 quilts on display in 34 exhibits, ranging from traditional to modern, big to small. They ranged from pieced and abstract to machine and handmade. And rising from all of these are several quilts that were recognized for their exceptional mastery and craftsmanship. We got to spend some time with a few of the quilters to learn about their award-winning entries and what inspired them. We're with Angela Petroselli, who won the big prize this year at the Houston Festival 2022 Quilt Show. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I heard that you've been quilting for 9 years and you won the big prize for this. Why did you start quilting? What got you into it?
Well, I wanted just to do something with my extra time. So I actually started hand quilting and it was just really tedious. So one night I actually won $900 at the casino and I went out the next day and bought a sewing machine. So I started to sew.
So it was all about a lucky night at the casino.
Pretty much. Yeah, if that hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't have started sewing.
So tell us about your quilt. It's called Beyond Reason. And for the people in the theater of the mind who are listening to this podcast, would you describe it for them?
There's 226,576 pieces. Each square, of which there's 4,624, has 49 pieces. And there are 7 different grades of value, and each grade of value has 25 colors within it. So there's 175 colors, plus black, of course. And it just goes from light to dark to light to dark within a pattern of a square on square.
Why is it called Beyond Reason?
Because there really is no reason as to why you do something like this. I really don't have a good reason as to, you know, why I started it or why I wanted to finish it. I just knew that I could, so I thought I could, and I did.
How did you come up with the idea for this?
I had read an article by, there was a quilt by Albert Small, and he made it in 1955, and his quilt, according to Ripley's, had the most number of pieces ever in it, and his record was 123,600. So I did some research and saw, you know, like if anyone ever beaten it, and from according to my research, no one had, so I decided to design a quilt that would do it. And at first, I wasn't going to make it, but then I saw that, you know, I can really do this, and my husband said, go for it, so I did.
Debbie Corbett, your quilt won the Master Award for Machine Artistry at this year's International Quilt Festival. Congratulations. Would you tell us, would you describe your quilt for us?
Well, it's called Soul of the Southwest. It's an authentic classic serape design, and it has 2,426 one-inch pieces in the piecing, and then all the quilting, my husband Mike and I do the quilting, and they're all authentic designs that we had custom made, digitized. We use a computerized Staedtler machine. They're all authentic Native American designs from the Acoma, Zuni, Hopi, and Navajo people.
What was your inspiration for coming up with this quilt?
My husband and I love Native American art. And we have like Navajo rugs and that type of thing in our house. And we just wanted to make something that was authentic. I did some research, and the serape, they used to, the Native Americans would give them as like honor gifts to people. So we thought, well, that'd be kind of cool to make a blanket kind of looking serape that was authentic designs. And so that's how we came up with it.
We are with Sue Sherman, and Sue won the prize for thread artistry, and I'm standing here looking at this amazing quilt that I just told Sue looks like a watercolor. And would you please tell us about the quilt that you made?
Well, it's called Dear Humans, and it's basically the backsides of a lot of animals. I took these photographs in Kenya and got a lot of pictures of backsides of animals. And at some point, it occurred to me they were trying to say something to the humans. And so I put them together in that way. It's like the animals trying to make a point. It's kind of a fun quilt. It's not really in your face, but they do get to make their point, and I think that that's fun. It's a quilt that I made by painting with dyes. So I did outline drawings of all the photographs, and then painted them with thickened dyes and washed the dye out, and then thread painted with trilobo polyester thread, mostly with the Magnifico Superior thread, which is wonderful because Superior was the sponsor of this award. And I have to say that I use my Bernina Q20 machine to do the thread painting. So I find that machine is just really easy to use to do this kind of work.
Sue, how long did it take you to make this?
I think 6 or 7 months. And that would have been working basically full time. So probably 8 hours a day, and I don't really stop for weekends.
From record-setting stitching to the Great Southwest to a quilt based on the quilter's photography, the winning artistry ran the gamut of possibilities. There was even a steampunk junkyard.
So this quilt is titled Not Today, and it looks like a roadrunner chasing a lizard through a steampunk junkyard. The idea for this quilt came because I wanted to do a steampunk junkyard. I have this imaginary steampunk world in my head, and I'm slowly illustrating it through fabric. And the steampunk junkyard was the next scene that I wanted to do. And I wanted a story to go with the steampunk junkyard. That was the setting. I needed a story. I'm a trained illustrator, so I always like to tell stories with my work. And so I figured, well, a junkyard's probably going to be out in the desert, just like we dump airplanes out in, you know, Southwest United States. So what kind of critters would live in a junkyard that's out in the middle of the desert? Roadrunner and common collared lizard. So these two little critters are just living their best life, looking for food. One's trying to escape, one's trying to have dinner. And my mom asked me, does the lizard get away? And I said, not today. And that's the name of the quilt.
As if there wasn't enough to experience, this year's festival also included a slate of more than 350 classes, lectures, and events with more than 120 teachers. A couple of these teachers happened to be Bernina ambassadors and guests of previous So-and-So episodes. Gail Yellen, you were on the So-and-So podcast in August of 2021, so it's been a little over a year, and we'd love to catch up with you and see what you've been doing since then.
Well, just like everybody else, I've spent quite a bit of time at home, but now we did start traveling in the last year, so I'm back at the Houston Quilt Show right now, happily, and last year was the first year I taught. I've also done some traveling to a few other states. I've been doing a ton of Zoom classes from my studio in my home and dreaming up lots of new fun ways to use the Bernina L890 and 850 and 860, which has been really great.
What are some of those new ways to use them?
Well, I have a couple of new things. I've been working on the fringe technique, and in fact, I have a pattern coming out for a Christmas stocking that uses, believe it or not, 4 12-weight threads to make a really fluffy fringe, and that's all done on the serger. also, I developed a new stitch called the stacked cover stitch, which is so pretty and so textural and dimensional. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's great on garments, home deck, bags, quilts, everything. And it's just so pretty. I love it.
So here at the Quilt Festival 2022, the show is bigger than last year. Things are coming back. Tell us your impressions of the show this year, and what are some of your favorite things here?
Well, I just finished my Serger Essentials class this morning, which was full, and it was just great because we had a lot of people who were owners of Sergers but really didn't know much about it. And those are the people I love to get to for the first class, because then they feel like, ooh, this is something I can conquer. And I just love these in-person expos because there's a lot of energy and excitement, and everybody's happy to see each other, especially after a lot of people haven't seen each other for a couple of years. But and the vendor hall is fabulous, so anyone who's here should go see it. And if you aren't, come next year to it.
And you'll be here next year?
Hopefully, yes. I'm planning to be, yes.
Pam Mashey, you were on So-and-So in June of 2021. And we'd love to catch up with you and see what you've been up to since we spoke last.
Great, great. Well, thanks, Meg. And welcome again, everyone. It's been kind of a whirlwind year, you know, since we last met and talked over the podcast. And, you know, personally, I have had a lot of struggles, and I know many of you maybe out there now might be going through some struggles, but also something might come up. But sewing has always been a real great therapy and a way to release and get out frustrations that you might have, and also those creative feelings that we have. We sometimes develop even better opportunities when we're in sometimes some low places in our own personal life. But it also is just something that I truly love to do. And, you know, we keep creating new and different projects. Where we are right now at the International Quilt Show, it's just such a wonderful place to be reinvigorated in any type of fiber art.
Tell us your impressions of the show. What are you enjoying here? What's your favorite thing?
Well, I've been coming here for probably 35 years. Every year it just keeps getting bigger and better, and just being able to see all of the friends that you see in different places throughout the country, sometimes even the world, all converge here at the International Quilt Show. And it's just so much fun to see all of the friendly faces and get people again creating, you know, with their fabrics. I'm sure they used a lot during the pandemic, so now they're able to reestablish their stash.
What is your favorite part of the show?
You know, I love to go and see the quilts because personally, I'm not really I wouldn't consider myself a true quilter. And when I go in there and we talk to friends and family about the quilt show, I think sometimes they think just regular 4-patch kind of or 9-patch squares. And these are works of art that are just come to life through fabrics and threads, and sometimes can really even tell a story. So the quilts, I think, are my favorite part next to the people that I see each time.
Putting all of this together to make up the Houston Festival experience is no small task, and one of our favorite things to learn about. We sat down with Bob Ruggiero, Vice President of Communication for Quilts Inc., the show's producer, to learn just what it takes to make this all happen. We first asked how it all began.
Well, Quilts Incorporated was founded by Carrie Bresnahan, and in the mid-70s, she had a quilt shop in Houston called Great Expectations Quilts. And at the end of her first year in business, as a thank you to her customers, she decided to hold what became the first quilt festival in her shop. So she was expecting maybe a couple hundred people to show up, you know, customers, and over 2,000 people showed up to that first event. So many that the vendors that she had for the show sold out of their products and their quilts and their patterns, and some of them even kept them behind because they had another show coming up in Dallas and they weren't going to have enough to sell. So each year the festival just grew bigger and bigger. We had shows in the hotels, the Shamrock Hotel, famous one here in Houston. It gradually moved up to convention centers, and then eventually here at the George R. Brown, which has been our home for almost 35 years, and it's the largest convention center in Houston. We're often named the largest convention in Houston, and it's the largest quilt show in the world.
So being the largest convention in Houston, how many people attend? How many vendors? What numbers are we looking at?
In a pre-pandemic year, we had about 55,000 people come from 35 countries. We would have over 1,000 shopping booths and over 1,200 quilts on display. We didn't have the show in 2020 because of COVID, and then we had it last year, and we're building it back up to the levels that it was. This year has been an increase across the board from last year, but even as a quote-unquote smaller show, there's still an awful lot to do. This year we have 1,100 quilts on display, 600 shopping booths, and 350 classes and lectures.
What goes into planning for this? This is what our listeners would love to know, the behind-the-curtain story about what makes this the quilt festival.
Well, we always say we start planning next year's convention the day after the previous one ends. So the best analogy is that it's almost like building a complete city inside the George R. Brown, a quilt city. We have our own food service, our own police force, our own vending force. We have all three levels of the George R. Brown. Everything you see on the show floor, from every chair, every table, every quilt that is hung, is pre-planned and pre-ordered. And most people wouldn't know that, understandably, just walking into the show. But everything you see down here, somebody has planned for it, and somebody's planned for it to be located there.
How many people does it take to put this all together?
Well, we have a staff of about a dozen that is full-time staff, but we could not do the show without our volunteers and our workers that come in and unpack the quilts and hang them and take them down. The elite ones are called the Peace Corps, P-I-E-C-E. Get it? Nah. And they're specially trained to handle all the quilts because people entrust us with their quilts, sending them from all over the world for us to put on display for people to see. And we have a very distinct process that makes sure that all the quilts are taken care of in the best possible way. And you can even see down on the show floor, everyone showing the quilts must have the white gloves on.
Bob, tell us your story. How did you get involved in this?
I've been with the company almost 26 years. And when I interviewed for the job, I wasn't quite sure what it was. I mean, quilts, again, I thought what a lot of people think, it's a blanket that you sleep on or something out of the Waltons. And after I was interviewed for the job, Carrie and Nancy O'Brien, the executive vice president, flew me back after the job interview to actually see the show. And I was just bowled over by the scope of it, by the size of it. And really, that's when I started my appreciation of quilting as an art form. It does have utilitarian uses, and of course people still use it for that. But when I see things on the show floor way back then and even up to today, these are amazing pieces of art. And I wish more people in the non-quilting general public would see quilting as that. I think we're getting better at it. Every year at the show, we have thousands of people who've never been to the show before that walk away amazed. And so that education and getting people to realize quilting is an amazing art form is key to the industry.
Throughout the show, we had the opportunity to visit with some old friends, people who had been guests on this podcast.
We're with Kay Fassett and Brandon Mably in Houston, and it is so good to rejoin the two of you. We met initially at Bernina University in July of 2022, and you both have been incredibly busy since then. We'd like to catch up with what you've been doing since we visited last.
Wow. I can't think of the thing. Brandon, this is where you take over. Brandon's the one that can remember what we've actually been doing.
It's been quite hectic since the gates opened back up since COVID. Our calendar, it just rushed in. We've been to Ireland, we've been out to Stepbourne, Stepbourne in Switzerland. It seems like we've been away every other week giving promotions and events. We've opened an exhibition at the Fashion Textile Museum in central London. That will run for 6 months. We did a fantastic retreat in a Scottish castle. And I can't remember if we did before. We also did another revisit to the castle where we shot our latest book, Quilts in Wales, which is a 13th century castle in North Wales. And we're planning to have an exhibition in that castle, and that will open in 2023. So watch this space.
Yeah, and that's called Powis Castle. And we will be able to mingle our needlepoints and our all quilts and all of our textiles among their wonderful antiques. And I love to do that because a lot of our inspiration comes from antique textiles. So a bit of camouflage, you know, we'll just sink in, I hope.
So we're just at the end of a six-week workshop tour of the East Coast of the U.S. And that tour was planned for us by Free Spirit Fabrics. And we literally have been that busy that we didn't look at the itinerary until a couple of days before we got on the plane to see where we were going. And the way that our calendar works, we look at where we're going literally that day, at the end of that day, and we focus on where we are and what we're doing, and just give it our all and then jump on to the next location and hopefully have a fresh outfit and new smile.
So we're at Houston, and I want you both to talk about how you're experiencing the show, what you've seen, if you've had an opportunity to look at some of the quilts that are on display, some of the prize-winning quilts. Share with us your impressions of this international quilt show this year.
The actual show is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen here. Wonderful, wonderful examples in the exhibition center of quilts from all over the world, and they're beautiful. I mean, I've gotten so many ideas and so much inspiration from just looking around at what people have brought to this exhibition.
Yeah, I mean, it's intimidating to see the level of standard of creativity that people have poured into the work that's on display, and it's bar none. You can only see a display like such here in Houston. None of us knew what it's going to be like because it's our first time back here in since 2019. So we were just wondering what the energy has been like, but it's on fire. It's like being in a popcorn machine.
We're with Margaret Jankowski at Houston Festival. Margaret has been a guest on So and So. It's been about a year, and this is an awesome time to catch up with you and see how things have been going at the Sewing Machine Project.
Well, it is such a treat to run into you. Thank you so much. We are going gangbusters. We're actually in the middle of a strategic planning process right now to kind of embrace our growth because we're 17 years old now, which is really something. We're doing a lot of work locally. We have free mending sites that everything shut down after COVID, and now we're moving back into it. So we offer free mending in the community every week. And it's just fantastic and really embraced. And we're doing our local classes, and then we're sending machines all over the country. So we're doing a lot of work.
Margaret, for those that haven't had an opportunity to hear your special podcast, would you tell them a little bit about the Sewing Machine Project?
Absolutely. So this is a project, is definitely a heart project for me. I started it in 2005, and it was in response to the tsunami in Southeast Asia. I read an article about a woman who'd lost her sewing machine, and I'm a sewer myself. And I couldn't imagine being without my machine. And I realized for her, it meant the difference between starvation and success. So I began collecting sewing machines in my hometown of Madison, and the machines kept rolling in, and we shipped machines to Sri Lanka in response to the tsunami. And then we moved on and started taking machines down to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and we've taken over 1,000 to the New Orleans area alone. And now we've branched out and we work locally and nationally mainly, and we collect donated really good working machines from individuals, and we also get corporate donations of machines, and then groups, nonprofit groups all over the country apply for those machines, groups that are helping people and using sewing as a tool for healing.
Margaret, any big plans, anything you can share with us for what's next?
I think our biggest projects right now are kind of embracing where we are. We are working with a lot of groups that are resettling refugees. First, the Afghan wave that came into the country, and now a lot of Ukrainian refugees. So we're working with a group in New Jersey that's resettling a lot of refugees, and we've worked with groups in Chicago. And we found one of the interesting things that I've learned is that a lot of these refugee resettlement groups use sewing circles as a way of helping people connect. And so we're trying to gather machines to outfit those sewing circles so people can get together and sew and connect with one another.
An unexpected conversation was running into Shalancia Daniel of the Creativity Shell. She was our guest in August of 2021, and she's sure been up to a lot since then.
Tell us about your impression of the show.
It has been amazing. This is about, I think, our fifth or sixth time being at the Quilt Festival. The very first year I was here, I think it was 2016 or 17, I did the show completely by myself. And it was crazy. And now, having staff helps a lot. But seeing so many people coming back, especially after COVID, last year, the show was here. It was more scaled down, though. We didn't have the international. We didn't have the bus groups from Sydney, Australia, or even from, Lake Tahoe coming in for sewing. So I'm really happy for QuiltSync. The ladies here work magic to put something like this together. I'm not going to say it has to be women doing it, but it definitely is a work of love and art. And I'm so happy to be back here. I'm so happy to have so many people, so many vendors just out and about and really showing the impact of how quilting and textiles, how it just brings people joy.
We're with Bill Schrader, who was a guest on our podcast earlier in 2022. Because Bill and his family run the Quilt Week in Paducah, Kentucky. And Bill spent some time with us talking about the show and his family and his grandpa. And Bill, it's good to catch up with you. What have you been up to since April?
Yeah, we have had a few more quilt shows since then. We did the Grand Rapids show, and then we did Des Moines, and then I have never been to festival, so I wanted to come down here and see what all this was about. It is a crazy show. It's a lot of energy. It's really good for the industry, and glad I could get down here to actually witness it.
So you said you've not been to festival before. What's your impression of this show?
Oh, it's great. I haven't seen anything. I hear tomorrow morning's going to be crazy. Kind of like I told you last time when we talked. You said, "How are your expectations for the show?" And I said, "I'll let you know on Friday." But as far as a preview night goes, it's very well attended. The energy's great. A lot of people here, they're all really excited. So I would say tomorrow will probably gonna be even more crazy than today.
Joe Vaccarelli, you were on the So-and-So podcast in March of 2022. Right. And told some incredible stories about how you got to where you are today. Will you fill us in on what you've been up to since we talked to you last?
Yeah, well, again, right now we're at the Houston Quilt Festival. I've been on tour since August of this year. We started up in Seattle at the Pew Out show up there, and then we migrated down to Virginia, and then we, of course, from Virginia, we were back up in Ohio, and then Ohio, we came down to Tennessee, and now we're down to here in Houston. Then we got to go back up to Novi, Michigan. In between there, we're also doing Dancing with the Stars at the same time, and I'm also in the process of doing Project Runway at the same time as well. So we've got several things going on at all times, which keeps us very relatively busy. We took on Project Runway for the first time this year, so our new French European forms will be on the series for 2023 when it airs for that show. So I've been really busy with that. And of course, I've been here doing fittings at the show, fitting patterns, fitting all kinds of classes, for patterns and fit, the girls' biggest problem is, everybody buys these commercial patterns and they don't work. So they come to me and they say, "How come it doesn't work?" And I tell them, "Because the pattern's wrong and your body's perfect." So the whole fact of the matter is we need to make the perfect body so we can get those patterns to work. And we're doing that through the body form teaching process. And we've done a very successful process here at the show, working with the students directly in the classroom, which has been really, really great and kind of exciting too. And it's been exciting too for Dancing with the Stars. We moved it from the ABC network, and now we're on Disney Plus. So going to Disney Plus has been a new mainstream thing to get away from the new now. You know, it's a new now streaming, and it's been very successful for this year. So we're excited about that, and we'll see what next season brings.
So we're here at Houston. You were talking about teaching and some of the other things. Tell us about some of the experiences that you're having here and what you really enjoy about this show.
Oh, gosh. You know, so I've had at this show about 250 students at this show. And my experience is they've all been sold out, the classes, and with waiting lists. And the beauty of the classes are is the students actually get to get a hands-on experience on understanding how it takes to create a garment that fits. That's their biggest problem. And I'm the person that is not teaching them to do pattern alterations, but more on, hey, let's make it fit from the beginning. So, and the way we do that is we do it through the process of their body. And the new now is we're living the dream today.
At the end of it all, attendees, vendors, and quilt artists all agreed that this year's festival has the industry solidly on the road to growth, to bigger and better things. Christy Burcham, Director of Training and Education at Bernina and a frequent guest on this podcast, underscored the sentiment.
Well, it has been incredible. The traffic is really high. There's a lot of people here, and you can just really feel the energy of everyone being together and enjoying this show together. And it's always so great to do this show because Bernina comes to this show as an organization, not just to support our dealers and to sell product, but to really get to interact with our customers and learn what they're learning, learn what they're loving, and get product ideas from them. So it's just been a high energy situation.
Throughout the span of 4.5 days, we met people from all walks of life and all levels of sewing and quilting skills. We even met some who knew nothing about this event, but saw it while walking by and wanted to experience. Bob Ruggiero put it best.
I would just say you don't have, to reiterate a point, you don't have to be a quilter to get something out of the show. We have people that come and just stay in the museum portion and look at the quilts. Maybe they don't ever make it into the shopping area, or maybe they do and they're inspired by taking up beginning quilting. But because we have the three, what I always call the three-legged stool of the quilt show, we have the education classes upstairs, we have the shopping and vending downstairs, and we have the quilts downstairs. So even if you're not an avid quilter, there's a lot to see and do here, and quilting being appreciated as the art form it truly is.
And so from where the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas, we finish with this. No matter how long you've been quilting, you've always been a part of the quilting family. And no matter how big this show, Houston Festival, is, it's intimate and personal because it's all about community. Our thanks to all who took the time to share their stories with us. Stories about inspiration, excitement, meeting old friends, and making new ones at the Houston Quilt Show 2022. If you know someone who has an outstanding story, a story that should be shared on this podcast, please drop me a note to meg@soandsopodcast.com or just complete the form on our website. Be sure to subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite platform, and visit our website, soandsopodcast.com, for more information about today's and all of our guests. That's soandsopodcast.com. And finally, I want to thank Bernina for making this program possible. I'm Meg Goodman, and I look forward to you joining us next time on So and So.